Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Hans, also. My name is Sven-Göran Pettersson. I'm from Lund in Sweden. If you don't know where it is, it's close to, rather close to Copenhagen in the south of Sweden. I'm working on holography, both as a researcher and as a lecturer. And unfortunately, most of the time now is lecturing optics and such things. The outline of my talk is the following. I will say something about history. Well, already Hans has said several things already, but I will just take some few. I will say something about courses in Lund that we have, and I will also go into the equipment we use for color holograms, how we control the exposure. I will show some pictures of the holograms, but I have also here some pictures that the students have made. I will go into some teaching of holography too, so it will be also lecturing in a way, and I will also say something about pseudo-color holography that we have here in Lund. So already in 1964, Leith and Upatniks proposed a way to do color holograms, but the problem, well, in that case, they said they would use three different beams because of the problem of crosstalk. But this means that we have a rather complicated setup. So in 1964, Penning, Don and Lin, they used instead a small bandwidth of the material, and in that case they could produce a transmission hologram in color. And Lin also used in 66 Denisuk holograms to make color holograms, and in this case no lasers are used or needed for the reconstruction. And Hans also told about Kubota, where they used dichromate gelatin and aqua plates, and the dichromate for the red, dichromate for the blue and green, and aqua for the red, because the material at that time for blue light was not so good. It wasn't mentioned that you could also do spatial multiplexing and a coded reference beam to obtain a color hologram. And as some in the audience noted, there was a rather important step forward when Jubel and Solimer used a new material from Ilford, and they could produce good color holograms. And we know that Bjelkhagen has, and Vukucevic has, and they have used single beam reflection holograms and using the Western processing technique and also Russian emulsions. This combination was a very successful thing. All right, in 2000, Chanté presented a new emulsion, a French emulsion, Ultimate. Which was very good in small size crystals. And maybe I can say something about my experience, my first experiments on color holograms were in the beginning of 70s, where we combined 8 We combine 8E75 rag plates with blue plates 8E56 for a transmission hologram. And we also, well, in, at that time we used a helium cadmium laser and a helium neon laser, and of course we had a problem with the scattering of the blue light, but the hologram was quite good. Anyhow, later in the 80s and 90s, we tried to also make three color. This was two color. We tried three color with helium neon blue, helium neon green laser also. But it wasn't until we could use Russian emulsion that we got a very good step forward. One important thing in this case is, of course, the CIE chromaticity diagram. And Jubel and Solimar, they found out that the 3 points here, 528 and 647 and 458, would be better than the combination that was used mostly at that time, 514 and 488, or I don't get the well, 488 and 633. And we used, as I said, helium cadmium, so we were a bit too low down. I don't think it's really necessary to cover all the blue gamuts. The courses we have in Lund are from nanotechnology, electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, industrial economy. They make a four-hour lab in holography, and we have also two separate courses where people or students can go deeply into holography. And I can say that last year we made about 500 to 600 color holograms in the setup we use. So I will just say something about equipment. In fact, I presented it on the 2000 conference in St. Pölten, but there are some modifications. So we have now, instead of helium cadmium laser, we have, as you can see, a cobalt blue laser, which is going at 473, and we have helium neon and also a normal diode pumped YAG laser. As you can see in this system, to be able to adjust the beams correctly, we have two mirrors for the blue and the red laser, so we can exactly overlap all the beams in the spatial filter. You can also see in the picture there is a diode laser also here, and we can enter that diode laser to test what happens if we use this. You can also see that it's possible to expose larger plates in a separate setup. here you can see a picture of the system. To the left, the blue laser, the new blue laser that is now this size instead of something like 3 meters. The output is 50 milliwatt instead of 125, but we can cope with that. And on the right we have the other part. The laser, the blue laser, doesn't have to be outside of the table, but this is just because we have not yet had the time to move it onto the table. Okay, so this blue laser is in fact a laser that is produced in Sweden by Cobalt, and it's just a diode pump laser which uses another crystal than the normal for a diode pump YAG laser. One important part in this setup is this plate holder that we use because we want all the students to have their own hologram. So we need to do 8 holograms in a 4-hour session. Well, of course, we cannot only concentrate on color holography. We also have to discuss interferometry and such things. So we have a special plate holder where we can put in 4 holograms and expose them sequentially. So just turning on here, you can rotate the system. This is the electronics, and you can see here the plate holder, and you load it from above here, and then rotate, and so you have 4 different positions. And in this case, we also have an exposure control that is computer-based, and we have, this is typical example of what we have as exposure times. You can see that plates we use. Well, now we use Chante plates, which are very clear and good. And you see they are not so sensitive to blue, so that is why we have 42%. We use a total exposure of 1,500 microjoules per square centimeter. And you see the time of exposure is 39 seconds, because we start the different lasers at different times, so the total time is just 39 seconds. But there is also waiting time because we rotate the cylinders or the plates. And the waiting time plus the exposure time gives you a total exposure of time for exposing the plates of 10 minutes. And then we have a new group coming in, and then we develop all 8 plates in the same way. I've tried to use a diode laser instead of this helium neon laser because I can find that the coherence length is not so good for this depth of object. But we have had several problems with mode hops and fringes, contour fringes in the holograms. This is just one color, and I would like I would be pleased if you could tell me of a good diode laser, not too expensive, to be used. So this is the set the plate holder for making larger size 20 by 25 holograms. And I have some holograms over there made by the students, and some we have also 20 by 25 centimeter hologram also. I will just say something about teaching holography. when you see a hologram, of course you immediately understand this is a 3-dimensional image. But why? Well, That is a difficult task to, if you have a student that has no background in wave optics or such things. So then we use different models, a simple model and more difficult models. We have a mirror model, a model with moiré pattern, momentary electric field gratings, and for some students, complex description of wave fronts. Complex description of wave fronts and the reconstruction of that. Well, there is one very simple way to create a three-dimensional image with a depth of, in this case, some, tens of meters. It's in full color, and it's also, in a way, a video. So why are we on a conference then? Well, all of you know that it's the recording and the reconstruction of the image that is, I mean, like a photo, you reconstruct the image so you can have something stored. Well, we can use this a mirror as a mirror model. We can say that the hologram can be seen as a number of mirrors, and at the top you know that an object is, if you have an object in front of a mirror, you have a three-dimensional image behind, and for a distant point, you, like A prime, and like A here, you get the distant image point, and for nearby, you get a nearby image point. And so you can say that the hologram acts as a, that you have a lot of small, tiny mirrors inside the layer. And for instance, you can create the waves or the beams from A prime by just having some positions for the mirrors and some other positions or angles for the mirrors. Yeah, you will have a more divergent beam, and that gives you the three-dimensional information. Well, we have, in fact, a real model of this. You can see here is a model hologram with 625 mirrors, and there are three screws on all mirrors. And so you see on the screen here in front the image created by a light source on top of the mirrors. And so we can say that in one position we have one image like here. And when we change the position of the screen, we have another image. All right. We heard in the first day something about moiré pattern. And we know that if we have two waves with a velocity of the light, even though they are moving very fast, there is a stationary pattern. And this is what we call, that is what we record in the hologram. If you have another angle between the beams, you get a finer system. And, well, let's now have light on just this hologram. Well, I don't know if you can see, but produced from the, oh, it's up there, but you can see there is a system coming out from, if I follow here, see it? So this means that if you eliminate the stationary pattern, you can get a new wave. And of course, this was very simple. Normally, we have spherical waves. So if we have a spherical wave and a plane wave, we also get some stationary system. I mean, if it's not coherent, then this will be not be stationary. But if it's if they are coupled in a phase, you get something like this. So this, if you record that system, or the hologram there, now I cannot help you really, but maybe you then can see that the stationary pattern and the plane wave creates a new wave, a spherical wave coming out from the pattern and or from the hologram. And of course, if we do it the opposite way, you have a convergent beam. If you didn't see that clearly, I think you see it more easy this way. You can also use momentary electric fields. So momentary, we have also a program on that. If we have one set up like what you have there to the right from... Okay, now it doesn't work. Okay. All right, then we can go back here. Then from one source you get this, and from the second you get the other B here. And C, you will see a fluctuating electric field, but there is always a constant pattern behind, and that is what you have at D, and which is the hologram. Okay, I think. We can also, of course, use the grating model and calculate the gratings, and then in this case, you can say that the hologram is a grating where the grating constant isn't constant but changing, and so you can show that you really get the three-dimensional image from that. If we have students that are well aware of wave optics, and if we, for instance, we do some experiments in digital holography, then of course we need the complex formula of wave construction. I will just say a few words about pseudocolor holograms that we have on some of our courses too. And the system that is to the left was introduced and used at a course together with Marie-André Cossette. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but we use glass objects in front of the film, and this is very good. I mean, this was very popular for the art people interested in art. And you can, to the right, you can see the slit system and the plate holder where we use film and we just use vacuum to hold it. And to the left, we have some typical object placed on a glass plate. And I had a visit by Melinda Menning, and she made this beautiful hologram on this setup. And to the left, we have another from an artist, Monica Berggren. And she also, she exposed once with no vacuum, and so you have some fringes. So she liked to have that in the picture. And to the right, we have also try to combine color separated images to reproduce an art piece of Kerensky, and you can see quite well the good color rendering, but of course then the viewer can change his position to get his favorite colors. Sorry. Well, I hope we will improve in our equipment to get even better holograms. We think the students learns a lot on this on how holograms works and so on. And I have, you can see some holograms. I have some bigger holograms, and the holograms there are typical for what the students can make. Right.
Okay. Thank you very much. Señora, we may have some questions.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
I thought my time was out.
Yeah, but we have one or two questions.
I would like to ask a few questions about dye lasers.
Maybe being involved for more than 10 years with Professor Pierre Boone, well known here, we firstly record reflection hologram using dye lasers in 672 nanometers. It's experimental production of Philips. You are asking about the price, it was free. But now we are using in red region, of course, but in 635 nanometers wavelength, it's the same almost as helium neon laser. It's very difficult to have single frequency. Usually at this wavelength, you have two stabilized temperature, stabilized with Peltier and feedback, etc., etc. But 658 nanometers, and better 672 nanometers, is very cheap. We could turn to Torlab, the price of 50 milliwatts lasers, but you need temperature controller and driver. The price of temperature controller is about 1,000 euro with laser head and temperature stabilization about 400 degrees of centigrade. Okay.
Okay.
I could give you detailed information because we check all lasers.
Yes, I think that is interesting for everybody. So if you could have something maybe later, we can mention that. Yeah.
I would like to suggest you to insert in a very interesting file about history, because one period after invasion in Afghanistan is missing, and papers about multicolor of Hariharan, Sobolev, Serov, I'm Sainov, and Belhagen.
Yes. I mean, we can. We have around 100 papers or so on color log. If you read one of my papers, where every single one really is listed, but in this review, mine and his, we just highlight a few. Anyhow, thank you very much for the presentation, and we have to move on.